Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap territory. What a joy and a delight it is to come to you on this beautiful day where we are. I don't know what the weather is like where you are, but where I am, it's getting to be about 80 degrees and nice and sunny and warm. I think that springtime has hit and summer is on its way. And on behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, and certainly it's just a delight to be able to come into your life today. And Sam, I guess you're snuggled there in the Philadelphia area, are you not?
Yeah, well, snuggled, that might be subject to interpretation, but I am here, yes, in the Philadelphia area, but it's about as warm here as Altoona, so, you know, it is summer. I will say, though, some were commenting about weather, it's dry. It's really dry out there, so we do need some rain, and maybe we'll get it over the weekend.
Well, that would be nice. You need that rain to get things to grow. And David, you are traveling through the Altoona area somewhere, as I understand, along the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Gary, I am indeed. I don't know if I should tell where I am or not, or we may have an inundation of people coming to be interviewed and talk on Stand in the Gap today. But I am actually, Gary, near Breezewood, Pennsylvania. Beautiful day, 83 where I am, and absolutely the terrain here in this area, Gary, is absolutely stunning. So, yeah, gorgeous day, but traveling through the fair state of Pennsylvania.
Well, you're not very far from where I'm sitting right now, so thank you very much for being in our neck of the woods. Ladies and gentlemen, today is Phone In Friday, and what does that mean? Well, it means that you can call in your questions to us here on Stand in the Gap today. Those phone numbers are as follows. If you are in the local Philadelphia area, you may call 610-539-TALK. That is 610-539-TALK, or that's 8255, 610-539-8255. If you are outside of the local Philadelphia area, we do have a toll-free number. And that is 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. And we would give you the opportunity right now to give us a call, and whatever you want to talk about, you may. You might have a question on the Constitution. You might have a question on the Bible. You might have a question on something that relates to the current events, things that are going on in the world. And we will do our very, very best to answer those questions. So please feel free to call. Toll free is 1-877-667-1180, or the local Philadelphia area number is 610-539-TALK or 8255. We are indeed delighted to have you with us today. Well, it's interesting to note that President Obama's amnesty by edict has always been something that the Democrats have been interested in. And according to the information that we've received, sources at the Department of Homeland Security report to PJ Media that the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service is reallocating significant resources away from a computer system, that is, of course, the electronic immigration system, to sending letters to all 9 million green card holders, encouraging them to naturalize prior to the 2016 election. This effort is a part of the DHS, that's the Department of Homeland Security, Task Force on New Americans. And the basic letter indicates that what they are trying to do is get as many immigrants, aliens registered to vote before 2016. As a matter of fact, this is what a statement says. It says, and I quote, "The report outlines an immigrant integration plan that will advance our nation's global competitiveness and ensure that the people who live in this country can fully participate in their communities." And what they mean by full participation is having the ability to vote. And, of course, all of these patterns of voting that people follow indicates that new voters overwhelmingly vote for the Democratic candidates. So, Sam, what we see here is that it appears as though that the Department of Homeland Security is actually out there doing what it can to get people signed up to vote and to vote Democratic. Now, that's sort of not too above board and ethical, is it?
Well, no, Gary, it's not. But, you know, as you just read that material and that information that's coming out, and you connect that with a program we did a couple of weeks ago where the White House and the administration is bringing in tens of thousands of immigrants, let's put it that way, and settling them in specific communities across the country. And you connect these two together where you actually are – that's according to design. There is a strategy behind it. There is no question about it to influence the election in 2016. That's the only reason why there's a target date of 2016. It's an attempt to influence the election. That's 100% the reason why. And this, the use of Homeland Security in this purposes, sounds and smells an awful lot like the IRS episodes of a couple of years ago of targeting entities that were not in line with the political strategies of this administration. So, Gary, this has been a long trend. This is highly disturbing, and it's the kind of thing that should, under any normal circumstance, give occasion for those in Congress, regardless of their party, to say, this has got to stop. But, you know, it hasn't stopped. It continues almost more arrogantly by the day.
Why won't Congress stop it? And where is the Department of Justice in a case like this?
Well, the Department of Justice, I think we know where they are, is that they are supportive. The Department of Justice really, by rights, could be called or should be called the Department of Injustice,
yeah.
Gary, because it does not uphold the law. It is using the mechanisms of the position to defend the law to defend a political strategy. And that is of this White House. There have been many things that this Department of Justice has failed to pursue because they just choose unilaterally that it doesn't fit. On the other hand, they will choose to pursue very unilaterally things, defending things like this, but that are very clearly, overtly political and not in the best interest of the general welfare. So they're not doing their job, and that's part of the problem.
You know, the information that we have says that the DHS intends to recapture unused visas from years past to grant more visas and green card status. In addition to this visa blizzard, the agency will allow folks to jam in applications during the blizzard, knowing that the visa application beneficiary is not eligible for the visa. So this is quite concerning today and something that we need to be concerned about in the United States of America. Our country is going the way of lawlessness. 610-539-TALK or toll free 1-877-667-1180. We would love to hear from you. When we come back, we are going to talk about some listener response that we've been receiving, and you can be responding by the telephone. So pick up the phone, give us a call if you wish. We'll be back with more right after this, so stay tuned.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor's not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The 33rd U.S. President was born this day, May 8, 1884. He was captain of a field artillery battery in France during World War I, judge in Jackson County, Missouri, a U.S. Senator, and vice president under Franklin D. Roosevelt. As president, he ended World War II by dropping the atomic bomb. His name, Harry S. Truman, who stated, "The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings of Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
God says that when nations become proud and forsake Him, He'll replace their servant leaders with self-serving infantile leaders. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, saying there's a heavy price to pay for forsaking God. Isaiah chapter 3 says, "And I will give children to be their political rulers, and babes shall rule over them." The Bible goes on to say that these rulers may have adult bodies, but like little children, they have selfish hearts and short-sighted minds. Undisciplined and driven by their flesh, they encourage division and rebellion, disrespect to parents and those in authority, and lawlessness and crude behavior against those who are decent and honorable. Like the inhabitants of Sodom, they act like children, arrogant, selfish, and openly flaunting their sin. Yet God says their behavior and their countenance will testify against them and will reward evil to themselves and the nation they represent. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you if you can identify baby rulers so you don't act like one or vote for one.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. This is Phoned In Friday, which means the phone lines are open to you if you would like to call us with a question or a comment about something that is going on in our nation. The number to call toll-free is 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Or the local Philadelphia number is 610-539-8255. 610-539-8255. And we love hearing from you, our listeners, whether it is, of course, by telephone, which you may do today, or by email or otherwise. And we do have some listener response that we want to share with you this afternoon. And we like this response because it helps us to understand a little bit about where you're coming from. And The other day, we received a letter where an individual said this, Dave Kistler, and I'd like for you to answer it. He said, thank goodness there are millions of Americans who will prevent an American theocracy. And of course, by making that statement, this individual assumes that what we are doing here in Stand in the Gap today is attempting to establish an American theocracy. And the question I have for you is, are we trying to establish an American theocracy, Dave?
Well, Gary, of course, we're not trying to establish a theocracy at all. All we're trying to appeal to is the basis upon which our nation was founded. And, you know, Gary, here's the thing. Everybody has a philosophy. Everybody has a set of core principles by which they choose to live their individual lives. And certainly every nation has a set of core principles upon which that particular nation or country was founded. And the fact of the matter is this. America was founded upon a Judeo-Christian belief. And that belief is the basis of our nation. And so we're just appealing for a return to that for a lot of reasons, not just the pragmatic reason of the success that America has experienced. But the fact of the matter is this. The scripture says those that live in accordance with God's word, God's truth, and God's law will experience God's blessing. And the reason America has been unlike any other nation in the history of the United States is because we were established upon those principles. Those, Gary, that choose to live a totally humanistic, by a humanistic worldview, are living by a set of core principles. In fact, I would even say religious belief. They're making themselves the measure of all things. They're making themselves their deity, whereby we are saying, in opposition to that, that we believe God ought to be the one that is our deity and our God. But those who choose to live by humanism are living by a set of religious beliefs. It's just they're making themselves their God. So it's not an attempt to make this nation a theocracy at all. It's just living by core principles that find their origination in the Scriptures, the Word of God.
Sam, I'm convinced, and I've heard this many times over again, and so have you, that what we as Christians are trying to do is to establish a theocracy here in the United States of America. I'm convinced that most people who say that really don't understand what a theocracy is all about. What about you?
Well, Gary, I think you're totally correct. I think if they look at the definition, or they would understand, because see, what's wrapped up in generally that kind of a mentality is what we've heard for a long time, a separation of church and state, okay, which again itself is a misunderstood term, and linking that together with anybody who stands and says there is a God, meaning a higher moral law and have that capacity, and that God has a set of rules, laws that actually should impact and become a part of civil law. That concept, many people say, well, that is a theocracy. Well, that's what Brother Dave was saying, said so very well right now. That's not true, because every nation has, as Dave said, a set of core principles that guide it. So if you go to Russia or China, you will have at the heart an atheistic view. Since there is no God, they will put their laws into place that will reflect the idea that says a centralized government is the way to go because that's what they do. They will unilaterally make decisions from the top. They will throw people in jail without due process of law. They will steal people's property. All of the things that we've come to believe in this country to be something that is, we would say, God-given, and it is, they disregard. You go to the Muslim countries, where they have Sharia law. They have a guiding moral principle different than what ours is, and guaranteed they will kill you if you do not believe it. They will steal your property, and they will turn you into slaves. That's what their ideology teaches. So for those of our founders when they were here, Gary, they said, we don't want a king who's also the head of the church. We're going to split that off, and we're going to say that government can't tell the church what to do. The church does not run the government. And the three, home, church, and civil government, live within a balance, that concept coming from the Bible. Now, those set of principles, I would dare say, Gary, that probably anybody who raises the question that I fear a theocracy would not fear what I just said. If they love private property, if they love the ability to have due process of law, innocent until proven guilty, if they like the ability to be able to travel about without having to show their papers every time they go, if they want that, they have to admit there are benefits to having a biblically based form of government. That's really what it's at. So it's really a misunderstanding, I think, Gary, on the part of most people.
1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-TALK if you're interested in calling into the program today, as this is Phone In Friday. David, as we look back to our founding fathers, certainly they did not establish this nation as a theocracy. As both you and Sam have said, they've established it as a nation built upon biblical principles. But a pure theocracy would simply mean that it would be God and God himself who would be here sitting in the White House and telling us what to do, correct?
Well, that's correct, Gary, and really that's what the nation of Israel was. It was a theocracy, you know, for the longest, you know, amount of time until they demanded a king, that they might be like all the other nations, the scripture says. But a pure theocracy would mean that God sat in the seat of authority, be that the White House or whatever ever building, if that were humanly possible for him to sit in. But that's not what this is at all. But a Judeo-Christian belief system is that upon which this nation was established. And even the three branches of government find their foundation in the scriptures, in the book of Isaiah, talking about God being a lawgiver. Here's your legislative branch, God being a king, there's your executive branch, and God being a judge, there's your judicial branch. So all of these components that have made up the American success story that has made us unique from any other nation that's ever existed and has given rise to this term American exceptionalism, it's not because we are so ingenious, we're such great people, though God has given us wonderfully ingenious and great people in America, but it's not because of our own doing, it's because of the foundation upon which we were established. And so when someone accuses that foundation of being a theocracy, as Sam said so well, it is a complete misunderstanding of what a theocracy is and what our nation was founded upon.
Here's another response that I want to ask you about, Sam. Apparently, we are being allegedly accused, I'll put it that way, of saying that our constitutional religious protections only include certain types of Christians. Now, I don't remember us saying that on this particular program. If we did, that must have been during a break or something like that. Obviously, the Constitution does not include only certain type of Christians, correct?
No, that is absolutely correct. And of course, we aren't making a statement like that because there's no basis for that whatsoever. The First Amendment grants the ability to worship, to self-express, to speak forth. There's a number of things that are embodied in that First Amendment, and it is open to all. Now, what we have said is that our founders did not ever envision that First Amendment right was unilaterally given open and wide to those who would actually call for, subscribe to, and encourage the downfall and the destruction of our own government. Now, in other words, you know, does the First Amendment allow for the active preaching and undermining of communists and Nazis during that time of the war? When we were at war with them, did we permit the actual enemy to have access? No, it didn't. But see, that was never the real intent of that. And so some have taken and said, well, it allows for the expression of anything. Well, no, there are some limitations, but our founders clearly did not intend that First Amendment freedom of worship would include any type of worship, for instance, that allowed for and called for the destruction of our Constitution, our God, and our way of life.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I just encourage you to do what you can to learn about our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. David Barton has written the book entitled The Original Intent. And I would encourage you, if you can, to get that particular book and read it, because it shows what this government was founded upon and what our Constitution really means. There are so many people that take it out of context, and that should not be. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. We will be back with more right after this, so please do not go away.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. It's called Force Protection Bravo, the threat level raised at military bases in the United States over the threat of homegrown terrorist attacks.
There will be more guards at bases, more identification required to enter. This is the highest threat level since the 10th anniversary of 9/11. The commander of Northern Command, NORAD, feels that it is wise at this time to raise the awareness and threat protection level to Bravo, and that's what he has done today.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin at the Pentagon. Lindsey Graham plans to run for president.
Fox News has learned the South Carolina senator is looking to announce his GOP White House bid on June 1st. And Seneca, South Carolina, where he lives. Graham would join a rapidly expanding field of Republican candidates, including fellow Senators Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio.
Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. On Wall Street, the Dow is up.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. It was a little bit more than a year ago that I attended the Supreme Court oral arguments in the Conestoga Wood Hobby Lobby case, involving the rights of Christian business owners not to be forced to provide insurance coverage for abortion-causing drugs. As I listened that day, I was shocked to hear the U.S. Solicitor General say that it was the position of the Obama administration that employers could legally be forced to pay for their employees' abortion in direct violation of their faith. Well, in last week's Supreme Court arguments on redefining marriage, that same Obama administration lawyer indicated that if same-sex marriage is imposed by the court, Christian universities and schools could very well lose their tax-exempt status if they refuse to go along. So much for those who said same-sex marriage would not impact our First Amendment liberty. Find out more about us at the Pennsylvania Family Institute at pafamily.org.
WFYN. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And on behalf of Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dull. As you just heard, Fox News is reporting that current threats for homeland terrorism has caused the Homeland Security Department of our nation to raise the alert awareness level on military bases, that is the American military bases, to Bravo. That's the highest it's been in a long, long time. David Kistler, I'm going to come to you in a moment and ask you what that means when it tells us that our awareness level has been raised to Bravo on the military bases. But before I let you answer that question, I want to remind our listeners that this is Phone In Friday, which means that you can call 1-877-667-1180. That's toll free. Or 610-539-8255. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. David, what does it mean when it says that the awareness level has been raised to Bravo on our military bases?
Well, Gary, it means a number of things. Number one, it means more extensive checks as you approach the gate at a military base. It also means this. You would have to have a background check, a very brief one done on yourself if you're going to be spending any extensive time on that base. And by the way, I have been overseas where the threat level was elevated from Alpha to Bravo. And I actually had to submit my Social Security number for a brief background check before they would allow me on the base. It means some things that you will actually physically see as you approach a base or try to get on a base. It means a lot of other things that we probably really should not talk about here on the air that you would not see, things that go into place the minute that the threat level is elevated that are just done to protect our men and women in uniform and not just them in the base, but also to protect the American citizenry. And, Gary, it's very, very interesting to me. I found out about this earlier, a good bit earlier today, and, of course, it's now widely being talked about and discussed on Fox News. But the fact of the matter is this. There is something going on, and we're not saying this to try to frighten people, but ISIS, it came out yesterday with James Comey, the FBI director, said that there may be hundreds, if not maybe more than 1,000 people across the United States of America that have been recruited via social media to perpetrate acts of terror within the United States, and that they're being told, don't come to Syria, don't come to Iraq to perpetrate acts there. Stay inside the United States. It's easier for you to commit an act of terror in the United States. And of course, the attempted shooting down there, the shooting actually that did take place down in Garland, Texas, is an example of this. And so, Gary, this signals something, that there is a realistic growing threat from this JV team, the president called them, months back, which have proven to be anything but the JV team, this entity called ISIS that is intent on bringing America to its knees and attacking not just our men and women in uniform, but the general American citizenry as well.
You know, Sam, of course, this goes back to, 9-11-01, I guess, that we've had this particular awareness system out there. My question to you is that, is this a good thing for the American citizens to know that the level is up or the level is down? And I'm wondering what the foundational basis of raising or lowering that level is all about. Can you give us some insight on that?
Well, Gary, theoretically, it was really these kind of things were first started as a way of alerting law enforcement and those who have a role of the protection of society to be more prepared, to be alert, to make sure that perhaps their own travel schedules are not away from that they're ready to be on call if need be. It's for that purpose. The reason to begin releasing it publicly becomes a little bit of a question. I mean, on one hand, you could say, should the American people at large know? It helps to know, on one hand, but the question that comes along with it, what should you do if you know?
Right.
Is there anything that you can do? Or, in fact, could it be used as a propaganda tool to put the American people on edge unnecessarily, perhaps to keep them on the edge of their seat, anxious and worried at all times so that they are not going about doing their normal activities with as much vigor as they should, but kind of always looking over their shoulder? Well, I think these kind of things have to be very carefully done. Certainly, if the American people were to know that there was a credible threat like in Garland, as an example where that happened, where, in fact, a couple of those folks were known to be there, and I'm not sure how many of them actually knew. They had telegraphed a little bit, but not much. But, you know, but that police officer that was there, I mean, those who carry and Second Amendment protections would have themselves perhaps a bit more on guard. And would that be a deterrent then for those who would attempt to attack? The answer is yes. It could be, act as a deterrent for those who would attempt harm. It could also put at ease unnecessarily those who are law-abiding citizens. So there is a balance of all this. But at the end of the day, you didn't ask this, but at the end of the day, I'd say more knowledge is better than less, as long as it's true knowledge, not propaganda knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
There's the key, true knowledge and not propaganda knowledge. You know, yesterday I was involved with the National Day of Prayer gathering here in Blair County, Pennsylvania, and I was talking to an individual there who has spent time in the military and now is an elected official. And Sam, this is what he said, and I want to put it into the context of this idea of boosting up the awareness level. He basically said that what he feels is that the Obama administration is going to make terror and the threats from other nations look so great and even look greater as we draw closer to the next election, the presidential election, that he will issue martial law to the point that there will be no election. Now, can you foresee something like that happening?
Gary, let's put it this way. I'll answer it a little bit indirectly. Is it physically and legally possible for a president, this president, any president, to actually do that under law granted by Congress? The answer is yes, they can. And with the executive orders that have been signed and with the powers that have been granted by Congress to presidents of the past and the current, it is possible, and part of that is the raising of these warning levels nationally. And there's a whole system in place legally that recognizes that when it gets to the top level, level six, that in fact something can be done if such a trigger is put in place that theoretically warrants such an action to take place. So yes, Gary, it can happen. It's the hope and trust of every American that that is never done. Let's put it this way. Unnecessarily, never, it's never, we hope that it's never done at all. We hope that it's certainly never done unnecessarily. It's even worse to consider that it could be perhaps a part of a broader effort. And to even think and talk about that in these terms, is something I don't think 10 years ago we would ever imagine anybody on talk radio talking about it, but yet this is the kind of thing that's talked about a lot because we don't know, and the knowledge that we're getting is, frankly, Gary, many times not true knowledge.
So, Dave Kistler, if indeed our president would issue martial law, what would that mean to us? I mean, you know, I just mentioned that it would involve the possibility of having no elections, and so the president would go on into not necessarily a third term, but would remain the president of the United States of America. But what could we expect would take place if indeed he would issue martial law in America?
Well, Gary, I think a good example to look to would be what happened shortly after 9/11 with the city of New York. Now, Mayor Rudy Giuliani did not institute martial law, of course, but because of the horrific nature of an attack, he went well beyond his term and stayed in to just oversee, you know, the smooth transition of things and so on. So if the president were to deem, unjustly so, that there was some threat out there that necessitated the institution of martial law, or if there were some contrived, we hate to even think about this, you know, but again, we're living in a time where, you know, faith in our leaders is probably at its lowest ebb, but if there were to be some contrived act that were committed just to give a stimulus, a reason for the institution of martial law, then it could mean a lot of things. It would certainly mean no elections. It would mean things would stay in place as they are right now. It would mean restrictions on Americans' liberties and freedoms to move about like we so easily do now. It can mean a lot of things. And I know this has been a topic of conversation. It's come up a lot, and it's seeming to come up more and more. And I do believe this. I do believe we need to talk about it. I do believe we need to keep it out there on the table as a possibility, just keep the American people aware of what some very unjust leaders might attempt to do. However, what we're talking about today is not anything closely resembling that. We're talking about an elevation of the military threat level is what we're talking about. So it's not the same thing as elevating something, you know, necessarily across the nation applying to the general citizenry.
Sam, if indeed a president, and of course in this case Barack Obama, would issue martial law, can the Congress of the United States overturn that?
Gary, I think the way it's framed right now, they can't, because they've actually given the authority to the president to do that. So, no, they wouldn't, I don't believe.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for justice. We need to pray for truth in the United States of America, and particularly in our administration, as well as in all the leaders across the United States of America. We are in serious times, a good time to pray for America. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, right after these messages, so stay tuned. Don't go away.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.
Lieutenant General William Boykin will speak at Coventry Christian School, Pottstown, PA, on Friday, May 15th at 7 p.m. in the Coventry Christian School Chapel. General Boykin served as U.S. Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence from 2002 to 2007 and also spent 13 years in Delta Force, 2 years as its commander. You are invited to hear this American hero speak about God's kingdom in a world that is battling the evils of the day. Come hear how we can be soldiers of Christ, no matter where our battlefield is located. The cost is $25 per person. All are welcome, but seating is limited, so please reserve your spot today to hear General William Boykin at Coventry Christian School on Friday, May 15th, 7 p.m., by calling 610-587-9917. That's 610-587-9917. 610-587-9917.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin. Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network
and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, one of the things that concerns me today and sometimes baffles me is the way that people misinterpret the Constitution of the United States of America. Of course, there are those who would say that we don't even need the Constitution of the United States. And a number of years ago, there was a U.S. representative who stood up in the well of the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., and basically said, who cares about the Constitution? Well, the Constitution is the law of the land for us here in the United States of America that really is based upon the Declaration of Independence in a great way. I would encourage you to read both of those documents and read them regularly. But Sam, just the other day, we heard that a CNN anchor by the name of Chris Cuomo, who happens to be Governor Cuomo's brother, that is the governor, the current governor of New York, came out on his program. He has a program on CNN called New Day. He came out on his program and made the statement that hate speech is not protected by the Constitution of the United States of America. Is that a right interpretation?
Gary, no, it's not. And I'll say, because of this, the First Amendment and the Second and the Third and the Fourth, they don't build within themselves exceptions. I mean, the founders did not put in there, this First Amendment applies only here, 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 and here, and here. They did not do that from the beginning. Now, over time, there have been some limitations, for instance, saying that if you go into a crowded fire theater or into a theater and you cry fire and there's none there, that can cause panic and therefore that is not permissible. So a logical, reasonable person would come and say, well, there is a reasonable limitation on what you can say. And so in a very, very few cases, the court has said, yes, in a case like that, you can't do that. But the founders did not envision a broad category of exceptions to the rule. Hate speech, though, you logically go to the next step and say, what do you mean by that? Please define hate speech. Well, is speaking out and say King George is a bad king, which is what back at that point. Well, I think King George would have viewed that as hate speech, but they fully protected that. So when you get into that realm of hate speech, and when we certainly know that by certain entities within this society that saying anything negative about someone else's religion or lifestyle, some have said that's hate speech. Well, did the founders ever believe that that's the case? The answer is no. I'm saying what Chris Cuomo is saying is that if you open the door to say hate speech, you open the door not to an eternal principle, but to the dictates of a select few who can determine whose speech and what they say is acceptable. That's not what the First Amendment is all about.
And of course, you know, we had a situation taking place here earlier this week where down in Texas, Pam Geller, who was the organizer of a free speech event, basically in a closed session, as it were, in a closed building, had a group of people there who were making cartoon figures out of Muhammad, I guess, or drawing cartoons or drawing pictures of Muhammad, making him look like a cartoon. And, you know, she was exercising her free speech. We wouldn't agree with that. But what we have found, Dave Kistler, is that she has now become a target of fatwa. So it appears as though those who are liberal, those who are Muslims, don't understand at all what this idea of free speech is about here in the United States of America.
Well, Gary, I would say this. I think those that are Muslim understand well the concept of free speech in the United States of America, but they're trying to take that and use it against us. What Pamela Geller did, Gary, was simply this. She exercised her First Amendment free speech. Now, again, that is not something that you or Sam and I would necessarily do, and that is, you know, try to have a session where we would have people draw cartoon figures of the Prophet Muhammad. We would think there's a better way to exercise our free speech rights than that. However, she certainly has the constitutional right to do that. And for goodness sakes, guys, this is the drawing of a cartoon figure. And so the mere doing of that caused those that adhere to the Islamic ideology, the Islamic religion, to want to come and bring guns and kill people because of that, which is literally what is taught within the Islamic faith, that you're not to demean the Prophet Muhammad, you're not to draw a caricature or any kind of type of image of him, and to do so will elicit this kind of response. That is what is taught in the Islamic faith. That is not an aberration. That is not some sect or segment of the Islamic faith, you know, going beyond what the Islamic faith teaches. No, it teaches that. That's how you're to respond. You're not to demean the Prophet Muhammad. But the fact that she is being criticized and maligned as if she is some kind of criminal, and now she has had a fatwa established against her that she needs to now be subject to Muslim Sharia law and the penalty thereof, which would be death. Gary, that's absurd and should be deemed as absurd to any American citizen who values the First Amendment. The emphasis is totally misplaced here. It's being placed on her. Her organization is being critiqued. Very little being said or done about the Islamic ideology, which would react so violently to her and to what she was advocating, which falls within the realm of the First Amendment protection, certainly. So, you know, Gary, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. No emphasis whatsoever on the rabid nature of Islam that would go after her or anybody else that would do something so innocent as draw a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad.
You know, something just a little bit more serious than that, though, Sam, is Terry Jones, who over the past couple of years has held rallies in burning Qurans. What about that one?
Well, Gary, here again, does the law permit such a thing to die? Yes, it does. It does. In a free society, it does. Would we do that? Obviously, no, we would not. But see, this is where the teaching of the fundamental principles that undergird our Bill of Rights and the fact of where it comes from and what the concept of freedom and liberty and self-discipline, this is all a part of what must be taught in our schools from our pulpits of America in order that this holy experiment, as William Penn said, of self-government, which is exactly what it is, us going out and being able to do a lot of things, but then personally choosing to restrain ourselves at times from doing certain things. That's self-government. That if those basic things are not taught, Gary, then people end up being lawless and doing whatever they want. And that is the direction that a lot of this is going. And ultimately, those within our culture who are wanting to shift, for instance, like to Sharia, they're wanting to throw off all of the structures of self-government and replace it with something totally different, which is all one-sided.
Well, it is. Again, I go back to saying, ladies and gentlemen, read your Constitution, read the Declaration of Independence, read the Bible, which is the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to be what it is, and that is the authority in your life, and you'll come out on the side of right all the time. Thank you for joining us today as well as this week. And on behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. We'll look forward to seeing you on Monday. And until then, stand in the gap for truth and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know without a doubt the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. In the Gap today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
From the Jeffersonville Golf Club. Jeffersonville Golf Club.
Yeah, they put a radio station on a golf course.
This is AM 1180 WFYL.